Smash cut.
A technique in film where one scene abruptly cuts to another without transition.
Much like a typical conversation with me and my friends when discussing film, television, music, video games, or anything else that happens to come up. This is the idea behind the show, Smash Cuts.
Hello, and welcome to an episode of Smash Cuts. I'm Rich Caban. With me is Jacqueline Hemmick.
Hello.
And David Maldonado.
That is me.
And we just heard, dun, dun, get your ass to the ticket booth.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Essentially what it was.
Yeah. It's like tickets you can be purchased. They can be purchased today.
Yeah.
And everybody's buying them. All over Facebook, I'm seeing people. Yeah, I got my tickets. Got my tickets.
Well, they tricked us all because right around 8:15, Tony called me and said, they're selling tickets on Fandango. And I'm like, well, it's supposed to be after the trailer, which was at 10:30. Mm-hmm. And it turned out Fandango jumped the gun, which then led AMC to jump the gun and then Regal. So then I'm chasing all of these apps trying to get tickets. And so we finally, I didn't get the fan event, but I got tickets for that first Thursday at 6 for IMAX in 3D, like second row. So I'm like, I hope it's... that's like the best I could do because literally everything was sold out. Like it was like selling out.
Is it going to be, because honestly, like it's been one of those things that's been coming for so long. It's a December release, right?
Yeah, December 18th.
Mm.
Or 19th, I should say. Yeah. So, but.
It's a Christmas present.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. Because they're always around Christmas, but it's possible that I'll be moving like right around then. So I can't get tickets early because I don't know what state I'll be in.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I'll just have to swing by and see it when we can see it.
Well, there's always a drive-in somewhere, right? Like you could, you're like, nobody's going to go to a drive-in to go see. So you might get.
Yeah, I don't want to go to a drive-in and see that, Rich.
You're like, I
not
can't
for the first
see
time,
anything.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well, it depends where you drive through. I'm sure there's a state that you'll drive through that'll have it playing. It's going to be playing everywhere. I think we're going to make sure this crosses a billion within the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll see. I might still be here. I don't know. It depends on when we move. But it's just like I can't buy anything in advance right now. I'm in that, you know.
Yeah, limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's exciting. Did you get the fan event, Dave?
No. Did you get it? You didn't get them yet, Dave, or no? Oh, you just found
no.
out. Right.
No, I just found out about it, so I don't know. I'm gonna see it. You know, I know I'm gonna see it. I'm sure it'll be playing everywhere. So I'll have to because I don't know where I'll be either. I don't know if I'll be in Austin or here. Most likely it'll be in Austin, so I'll probably check it out in Austin. But in Austin, like they're always
the
sold
L
out.
House?
Like into one of those places, mm-hmm. the Draft House. You know, any of those places, they'll like the first like week, I'm sure you can't get anything, but I'll figure it out. I'm sure it'll be playing somewhere and I'll get to check it out. I'm sure.
They're like, we have the 31st of January is available for you at the Ale House.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it'd be kind of funny.
Well, yeah. I have to say the trailer, it looks great. I still don't know what's happening, which I like. And, and it's funny because it feels like they showed important things, but then at the same time, that could be red herrings because I thought I saw Vader being chopped down, but I don't know if that was real or not.
We certainly saw something being chopped down, someone, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like Bespin, which was interesting too. And then, the other sweet moment, which if you connect it to the other trailer, was just when 3PO is saying he's going to, you know, seeing his friends for the last time. And and then obviously he's going to have the red eyes. So I wonder what that's all about. You know, if that's, you have that little creature behind him that's like probably the new teddy bear that'll be released.
You think maybe they flew him to that weed cafe in California?
Yeah, really. I've got my card now. Goodbye, friends.
Yeah, I don't know. I do feel like I get that they're trying to amp it up and do everything, but gosh, don't you think that still was an awful lot to show? I mean, I thought that the last trailer was really good, and I know that, you know, there's still plenty of storyline that's hidden in all of that scenery, but I'm just like, man, like, I it was beautiful. Like, it was so much fun, of course,
it looks
but
amazing,
it's still 2 months away. Like,
yeah.
What? What are they going to do next? You know,
I think they learned from Avengers, because Avengers did that smart thing of they showed us a lot of scenes and we were like, wow, they're ruining the whole movie. But really, they just ruined the first 20 minutes of the movie. Like that,
right.
they all the scenes they showed from the first 20. So I'm wondering if they did something like that where they're showing
maybe.
You.
Do we know how long it's going to be?
Yeah, 2 hours and 35 minutes it's listed as.
Right on.
So you got a decent amount of movie. Yeah. But and I don't feel like I saw a lot. I still like if I can't figure it out, then I'm like, okay, you didn't ruin it for me. So that's
right.
Yeah.
That's I mean I have guesses. Like what I don't really read the fan theories, but mm-hmm. like I was watching Force Awakens and then I was thinking about, you know, there's a scene at the end where or a scene where she not Force Awakens, Last Jedi. Where she is in the she's in the dark side tunnel mm-hmm. or whatever, and she sees all those multiple versions of herself. And mm-hmm. I was watching that. I was like, oh, and I thought to myself, wait, could that be telling us something? Like maybe she's a clone or something, or
mm-hmm.
there's some clone army. And like that one scene where you saw her with the double lightsabers was not her, but just like some clone of her. You know, like
absolutely possible, absolutely, and especially because in that. Dark place where she was looking at her reflection, she was asking it to show her parents, and yeah. it was just her, like two shadowy figures that just became her. And it could have been the two shadowy figures were her own clones, or like she has no parents, you know.
Yeah,
technically,
yeah.
And there
well,
are
I never even
theories
thought of
out there that she's been genetically modified or some sort of a clone in a way of Palpatine.
Yeah,
and that's
connected
how
to Palpatine
he
in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh, crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I know people hate me when I make those guesses and then they come out right. I swear I don't have any secret knowledge. I didn't read a script.
I like how.
Now you just have been breathing Star Wars since you were a fucking child, so it's like
right.
you would know what direction they would probably try to take it in that would be best for the mm-hmm. series. I mean, you and Tony, I would think. You know,
well, with
more
these
so
new
than
ones,
anybody.
Though. It's like the Wild West because I don't really know, you know, J.J. Abrams, I kind of know his background, but,
right.
you know, the other guy, what's his name? I didn't know at all where we were going when I watched that, you know. I never would have imagined a scene where Luke breastfeeds an animal for blue milk would appear in a movie. you know, it's
pretty bizarre.
So. So now you guys saw Joker. What did you guys think?
Hmm.
No. Oh.
I actually really
liked
it. Why
don't you go first on this one? Yeah.
I thought it was great. I enjoyed lots of things about it. I enjoyed the movie for sure. I thought it was beautiful looking. There were certain things about it that bothered me towards the end. Not violence, nothing like that. It was cool. I thought every moment he I'm going to go everywhere with this, but his performance was incredible and I thought he did a really good job. There were some moments that were kind of on the nose, but for the most part it was like his performance was dope and he earned his, you know, spoilers at the end. He earns his bloody smile. Like, I'm just like, holy shit. I want to see this guy go up against Batman or mm-hmm. see who he inspires to become Batman or to become the real Joker or whatever it is. Cause I've heard millions of theories online about this and people love to talk about it at work. And you know, a lot of the things they say, like the director says that he's probably not the Joker, but the guy who inspires the real Joker.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting, too. But anyway, aesthetically, I thought it was gorgeous. I thought there was some cool attention to detail. And I always look for the street signs. and the street signs were yellow, which is great because back in the day, they were yellow, too. So I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
even though it wasn't New York City specifically, it's cool that they decided to make an iconic version of that seedy New York creepy Skid Row kind of thing. I thought it was
that
really
essentially
cool.
The New York that Dave and I grew up in.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's like it felt very authentic. So when I was watching it, you know, everything was great. I thought the score was fantastic. I really enjoyed the music that was being played. I didn't like the pop music things. Pop music always takes me out of it because I felt like just they could have just used the score because the score was already mm-hmm. doing a fucking amazing job. And to insert pop music into it just kind of, I wouldn't say dates it because obviously it's trying to be a period piece, but it didn't need it. It's its own animal. It's its own universe. I felt like I was reading a Vertigo comic book drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like, it was that kind of shit. So it was like, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that I enjoyed it because I didn't know what to expect when I saw it. I didn't know what to expect of Joaquin because he's always eccentric and bizarre, and he was suitable for this. I completely believed his character. I thought, like I said, there was a couple of moments. It was a little, I didn't know if it was his fault or the director's fault or whatever, or the editor's fault or what, but there were just some moments I didn't need. And, but I'll let you guys talk about it because I'm just babbling forever.
And Jackie, yeah, you got
no, yeah. Well, I think that I'm on pretty much the same page. I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed it because I was of the mind where that first trailer that came out made me go, I don't want to watch this movie. You know, like this just does not look like a good time for me. And I got to say, it wasn't necessarily a good time. It was actually one of those films that's really uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it is.
But was very still good and worthwhile. And then the second trailer came out and made me change my position on that a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe they're trying a different angle here, and started looking into things, you know, about what the director was saying and kind of seeing like, okay, I can see, you know, the King of Comedy vibes. I can see the kind of appeal that this has and that it's maybe not what it looked like initially in that first cut. And yeah, it was, again, it did kind of surprise me that they left it open to, even though I was going into the theater like thinking, yeah, no, this is not the Joker, I do feel like there was enough room that they could wiggle if they wanted to. Yeah. They did kind of give themselves some space to breathe there. And yeah, Joaquin is an incredible actor, and he's one of those people that you never do know what's going on because he is eccentric. I think that was a good way to phrase it. So I was happy that I liked his performance, even though it was hard to watch. But that's the whole point. I mean, that's obviously what he was going for and what everyone was going for. And I really do like that it focused on the mental health crisis in the world and how, you know, we cut funding for people and all this different stuff. I mean, I get it. That is the obvious, like, nail on the head takeaway. Yeah. But it's still an important one, you know, still a really good one. I thought, the stuff with Bruce, I could have done without his interactions with Bruce.
Yeah, I was going to say too, they didn't need the Waynes. They didn't have to blow, like,
yeah,
not Thomas Wayne.
It felt
over
real shoehorned.
Yeah. It's like,
the way that they were so nasty to him. I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I felt like everything was trumped up there, you know, and just kind of like, you know.
But it's interesting though, because the way they handled Wayne, because at first you're like, wow, they really made him a dick. But then when you saw it from his point of view, it was almost like crazy stalker lady who's making this insane claim. He's just sick of it. He's like, I've dealt with it already, and it's like, get out of here.
Sure, but so, punch him in the face, and I mean, you know,
I guess because he did grab his kids. He did have his kid's face in his hand, you know, when he grabbed
his fingers in his mouth.
Ew. Well, yeah. I would understand that.
Yeah.
He didn't see that. He did see touch, but like, or he said touch, but like, if he had been there, punch him in the face. Yeah. But he wasn't there. This was after the fact. He could see that this guy genuinely thought that this was his father. I mean, don't you think it would be better to like sit down and have a conversation, like not just try and brush it? I don't know. I felt like that was handled strangely, but people are strange. Yeah. So, you know, whatever.
It's weird because that rumor came up in the comics. And I didn't know where, I don't know what comic it came from or where it was suggested, but I know that it's in the ether and that's how they, I don't know if that's why they put it in the movie or if maybe the movie planted it into the comics or somehow, but beforehand, you know, like just in the writing, but that was thrown around that two things were thrown around. One that Batman and Joker are brothers. You know, in that same way. Spoilers. I'm sorry, I should have said that beforehand. or two, that there's more than one Joker, and that's been a thread that's been going on in the comics now, where Batman's like impossible.
Yes,
you know, that's not possible. But this movie kind of played into that as well. Like, there could be more than one Joker. You know, for the amount of times that he died and come back.
Yeah, and I liked the riots. I liked the feeling. I liked the feeling of Gotham in that the throes of its descent. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. When we look at Batman films and Gotham and stuff, we're coming at from a point of it's already awful. It's already past the point of saving, right? Or whatever, right. from the outside mm-hmm. world. It takes this person to come in a superhero way to try and save it and debatably do more harm than good. I know some people are on that side, but but it was really cool kind of seeing it get there. Even from the opening scene, you're listening to the voiceover of the news anchors talking about a garbage strike and, you know, just the city is just filled with filth and, you know, just kind of that descent and then culminating in the riots. I felt like that was really cool. It was a very effective way to kind of show the growth or descent again of Gotham. Well, and I kind of hated again that we had to see.
Yeah. I know the Wayne parents die. Why they could have left that out. They could have alluded to it easily.
They could have even just had them turn the corner down the aisle. You know what I mean? Like have to just show it. It could have been an inference.
Or it could have been on a news report or just in the background. Just like that, you know that super rat thing that they mentioned?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? When he's on the phone on the street at night, right after he comes out of the comedy club, or I don't remember which part, behind him, I was because I saw it really close and I was on a big screen, right behind him, I thought I saw a cat. And then when I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, oh, that's the super rat. And you see the super rat. It's gigantic.
Oh, I missed it. I did not see the super rat.
It's friggin' nightmarishly gigantic. Like it looks like a small puppy. And oh it runs God. Behind him. And I thought, oh, that's – I said, well, they didn't make a big deal about it. That must come into play later or something. Like that's what I thought you were going to see again. But it never came into play. And but man, that was freaky. So they could have done something just very news background like that. You know, that would have
been an Easter egg. You know, like they want to film these movies with Easter egg. But and it's almost like the guy was like, oh, I almost forgot the pearls. Let me rip them off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It felt very forced and
tough. He's holding the comic frame. Yeah, he's holding the comic frame.
The only good part about that was that they were leaving the theater after watching Zora the Gay Blade, which I really appreciate.
That was cool.
really appreciate that.
That was funny. Yeah.
That was just for me. They just did that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Dark Knight Returns, Dark Knight. What was the name of the second movie?
Dark Knight.
Christopher Nolan.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Oh, the Dark Knight. Yeah. Duh. So Dark Knight had the palette of you know Frank Miller's the famous one. Returns. I'm sorry. Yes, this one definitely had Batman Year One. It had that the same look to it. It had the same like just sleaziness to it. The cops, everybody just looking like so gross, you know, like just so very 70s.
Yeah, you know, it felt right. It felt right.
And I have to say, I sat there just from the beginning to end. It just was a movie that it didn't feel long. It just felt very. I just want to know what was going to happen. Like, I'm like, where is this going? Like, but not in a bad way of where's this going? What's the end? Just that it was just very interesting character study, you know, it was just very well done. And, I liked his Joker a lot. I liked the idea of him. And then I liked the very last scene, spoilers again, the very last scene where he's on the talk show with Robert De Niro. I mean, that Joker is definitely, you know, Dark Knight Joker, you know, from Frank Miller's Joker, because he even looks like him the way he's sitting there. Cause you remember that scene when he's with Letterman in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, just how, you know, he's not laughing at anything. He's just kind of observing everybody looking around while Robert De Niro's talking and joking. And he's just very, it's very scary in a very non-threatening way, you know, when it does happen, I didn't know, is he going to, I thought he was going to shoot himself. I really didn't think he was going to shoot De Niro. They kept making such a big deal that this is the, you know, this self-contained story. mm-hmm. that when that moment yeah. does happen, it's shocking because you just, you should have expected it, but you just, you don't, you know what I mean? Or at least right. I didn't. So,
yeah, I didn't know either way. I mean, I really was questioning it the whole time because it did seem like he, once he got on stage and was talking and you could see himself like settle in, it's almost like he gained his confidence, you know, and was mm-hmm. just like, the mask came off and he was being himself. Then I didn't think he was going to kill himself anymore.
Yeah.
But all the way leading up to it, you're not sure because again, they really did kind of pose this as a bubble. And we were kind of thinking like, oh, okay, well, this is the person who inspires the Joker. So it would make sense if he made a display of his death, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Because that would be something iconic for the other thing a I was disturbed about, individual.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about too is did this did the television show actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is it obvious? Because I only saw it once. So, I mean, is it obvious that it actually happened or is it another one of his delusions?
Well, why else would he have been in the cop car afterwards?
Well, did that all happen? You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
You know, that's what I'm. Did the whole movie happen? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't really. Was I there? David starts to go crazy.
Well, Who am I? I was thinking about that a lot with the Zazie Beetz relationship because number one, it felt very idealistic. Yeah. Idyllic. How do you say that?
Both
of those are real words.
Yeah, both of those. I thought she was Harley. I thought, are they bringing Harley in a different way? So, you know, but that's, I felt dumb that I didn't even think that she was an invisible character. I felt, you know.
No, well, you never saw her daughter again, which was a big thing. And she was too, like, totally fine with him.
Just being a whack job. Like, almost like Anakin and Padme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So I definitely thought that. But we didn't actually get to see if anything happened to them. And there was no blood on his clothes when he left our apartment. So hopefully that they were fine.
Well,
but
I thought there was something on when he was leaving the apartment. There was like this police radio chatter. And they said something about that led me to believe that he killed the two of them.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Also, he's crying in his apartment while there's sirens and stuff outside, I guess.
Yes, yeah. That's when I heard it. Because it was like background noise or something.
It's like the lights.
Yeah, because she would have called the cops on him. And at that point, his two friends hadn't come yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was crazy, too. That's one scene where he's, you know, he kills that guy and then... Mm-hmm. Which came out of nowhere. It's a very, very Departed kind of sequence. And then lets the other guy go, thankfully.
No, but you had to know that that was coming. He set that up early.
Well, when he was going to kill the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't think he was going to do it as quickly as he did. Like, I thought it was going to be a little more, like, I didn't think he was going to do it in front of that guy. I almost thought it was going to be like, you know, they were going somewhere or he was setting him up, but. It was just the speed of the way things happened was very, very real.
Yeah.
Even on the train, you know, when those guys are messing around with him on the train, that was so New York during that time. Cause I just remember me and Tony coming home from shows and you would see groups of guys like that. Like everyone thinks stuff like that's over the top, but it really, at that time, it really wasn't. Like people
was pretty crazy.
Were just flamboyant and just like, and would say whatever they wanted to say and it could give, you know, they didn't care if there were little kids in there because I think I was like 10, Tony's like 15. We're riding the train at like midnight, and you know, there's some group of people, and they're all just drinking or throwing bottles, and bottles breaking in the middle of the subway. Mm-hmm. I mean that was real. That mm-hmm. New York,
it was. It's different now, though.
yeah, I know it's Disney now compared to. But yeah, I really did enjoy this movie, and I watched it saying, wow, I really wish, you know, first two things popped into my head. I was like, man, this guy would have made a really good Watchmen movie. You know, not that the Watchmen movie was bad, but I think it would have really kept to the flavor.
Yeah.
I feel like the Watchmen movie was really stiff.
And glossy, a little glossy.
Yeah, it was like I ended up liking The Watchmen mostly because I was so keen on liking The Watchmen. Not like, and then the more I settled on it and watched it again, was kind of like, actually, I don't know if I really do love this movie. And I kind of like it more the longer it's been since I've seen it, and I don't want to watch it again and ruin that.
Yeah.
Well, kind of happy with my memory of it more than I think the actual film.
The 4-hour cut is the one, the endurance test, where they cut the cartoon in and everything.
Oh wow, the pirate comic book,
the pirate story. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I have to see that. I agree, Rich. That's actually a good observation to have it be it would be cool if he did the Watchmen because he'd be truer to the tone, I guess, as far as like, because that's the tone of the book, because the information that's being brought to you in the book is like so eye-opening and brutal as the violence and the negligence that's on display in this movie, how guilty we feel, because it does feel a little timely. And like Jackie said, they did trump it up a little bit with Thomas Wayne. But I don't know. I mean, but at the same time, I it would be kind of interesting to see how they would continue a universe like this if they wanted to, or do you just leave this alone? You know, does Batman come into this? Is this generation's version of Gotham where Batman inhabits this version now? Because when Batman begins, it was a turning over of the torch. It was still like, look back on it now compared that Gotham to this one. And it's like, it feels polished beyond polished in Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. Whereas this feels seedier, even though it's just, an art direction change. And it just feels like it's gone from like the polished toyetic comic booky to now almost gritty. And it's like, what we get, because we saw a glimmer of it in that Batman versus Superman with the Batman parts, like that tone, but with this kind of art direction. I think, I think it'd be like you said, like a year one type feel, I guess.
That Robert Pattinson Batman, what, I forget who's directing that now.
Matt Reeves.
That's right, yeah. Now, I know that's everything seems to point to the Long Halloween. And then even with the casting announcements, like they announced Paul Dano as the Riddler. They wanted Jonah Hill for the Penguin, and I guess he turned it down. And now Jason Alexander's like kind of begging for the part, which I'm like, where'd he come from? He seems a little older for me too. Like I'd rather they stay. No offense, but not trying to be an ageist, but I'd rather they stay younger, because I feel like we already went the older route with Ben Affleck. You know, so if you've got a young Batman, you should just start casting for a 40-year-old Joker, not a 50 or 60-year-old. You know, I mean Penguin, and. But it would be interesting to see a Joaquin Phoenix in this version of this Batman, because they could. I mean, they could do it easily. I mean, it doesn't have to be a sequel to this movie. It could just do it and just not even like comment on it and let everybody else decide what they want to do with that information. Mm-hmm. Because
that's tough. You know that movie studios don't like to do stuff like that.
Yeah,
they like the continuity if possible, because it is tough if to say like, okay, I know that this guy was Joker here, but this isn't necessarily the same world, but he's still Joker here. But then is it Arthur Fleck or is it someone else and he's just playing Joker? I mean, that's a lot.
I know it's a lot of, but it just sucks that we'll have to get a third or fourth Joker at this point,
Right.
Unless Joker's not, are we sure that Joker's in it? Are we sure that Joker's the villain?
I mean, it's if they're doing the Long Halloween, it's all the villains. So it's,
oh, they're doing the Long Halloween? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's essentially what they've admitted without admitting it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's interesting. That is pretty packed.
Yeah, you've got everybody in this thing. So
that is interesting, because they haven't done the whole everybody gets their own movie thing yet. All of these new people in their roles.
Right.
So to have them starting fresh, it would basically be like starting with Justice League or starting with, where you just kind of.
It's almost better like that with the villains, because I feel like the Marvel movies kind of did that with some villains where they just kind of, they had them there, but they didn't make them the forefront until another movie, So I think with villains, you can get away with that, because then what that'll help with is, we don't have to sit through a 45-minute. You know,
sure. Yeah, I'm not complaining about it. Yeah, it's just interesting, though, because it's also the first film with a new Batman. So the fact that it is a completely new cast and they're kind of throwing, you know, everybody in the mix, that is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm just, you know.
Just don't show his parents die again, please.
Right? Oh, my God. I'm just kidding.
Well, they can't handle it. It's a motif. I mean,
they're going to make them younger. The parents are going to be teenagers by the time.
It could be, oh, my God. Every Batman movie from now on could basically be the intro to Spider-Man 2, but it's all of the montages of all of the deaths from all of the movies prior. Montages from every version.
You know what they should just do the Alex Ross paintings, right? Is that what you mean when they
on Spider-Man 2?
That was like that was awesome when they did that. That was enough of a recap for anybody, you know. Yep. Like, just give me that. I don't need any more explanation. We all got it, you know. Just Batman, his parents were killed, he fights for us. All right, let's go.
Everybody knows Batman.
Yeah.
He fights for us. I like that. Yeah. He fights for us.
Yeah, he fights for us. That's the poster.
I love it.
I mean, it's fun. And the fact that they're doing Long Halloween, it's because I don't want to be that guy, because we already did this with Ben Affleck, you know, where we tried to beat up on somebody casting wise. Like, Robert Pattinson, to me, I've seen the Twilight movies. I've never seen. I don't know what anyone really, I don't see it. You know what I mean? I just see someone who broods. But then at the same time, I thought the same thing about James, Spider-Man 2. What's his name? James Franco, when I first saw him in Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this guy's got, you know, not even say he had no talent, but I was like, this guy's not going to really do much, you know, is what I kept thinking.
Well, here's the thing with that. I also haven't seen most of Robert Pattinson's films. I've only seen the Twilight movies, mostly with riff tracks. But
exactly. Me too.
I know that he's made a lot of really critically acclaimed films and gotten a lot of props from people saying, like, no, he's more than that role. So I am willing to keep an open mind. I'm not against it because, honestly, I'm really not against most casting anymore until I see the final result, because I have been so off on my projections. I genuinely thought that what's his face from 30 Seconds to Mars was going to be a great Joker, and didn't think Heath Ledger was going to be a good Joker when we first heard that casting, and you know, I mean, like, so many different times I've been wrong. So I'm just like, well, let's just wait and see what they have in mind.
I thought Ben Affleck was gonna totally beef it, and he actually did a pretty decent job
on the first one. The only reason that it got any worse, I'm sure, is because they were trying to fix the tone, but they were doing it with the wrong character. Like, all of a sudden he was really cheesy. I know we talked about that when that came out, but it's so frustrating, because he was really good.
He wasn't he wasn't doing it. And I heard that they reshot the stuff that they reshot was Ben Affleck stuff and Superman stuff.
A shame.
Because there are scenes, and again, I'm not trying to whatever on him, but you know, he really got bulked up for the movie, right? But there are shots in this movie where he looks bulked up, and then you see shots where he looks really puffy. His face looks weird. He's like, he looks out of shape.
You called that before too. You are picking on him.
I remember thinking to myself, wow, that is weird. Why does he look so weird? Like, he doesn't look the same. And it's because they brought in these people after they already were on their next movie, or he said, you know, it's time for me to thaw out and get some burgers, you know, and then that was, you know, and then he has to come and shoot a movie after you're not ready to do it, you know, so.
Yeah, that's a shame. But anyway, casting wise, I have an open mind. I'm honestly, like, I don't know Paul Dano that well, so I don't even really have an opinion about
At this him. Point, they should just change Batman every movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're going for, the like
Stuart Doctor
Joel Schumacher. Yeah.
I do like Paul Dano's a pretty, I mean, he was a kid actor, and then the only real he's done a lot of movies. I think the role that sticks out for me is the one, the not the master.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. Yes, because he was the preacher kid.
He was in that. Oh God, I wish you didn't tell me that.
That's the Riddler. Yeah.
No, I hate it.
I mean, I don't know if he's, because he's kind of quiet and he's not, but he was kind of loud as the other, you know, there were spoilers. They were twins in that movie. So the one was the quiet one and one was the loud preacher one. But, I thought there was, I actually thought the person that would have been perfect was, the Big Bang Theory guy. What's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, everybody.
No.
That's not Big Sheldon. Bang Theory. That's Seventh Rock. But still, I thought he would be a good Riddler.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
But he's already played Robin, so
yeah,
I get
he's
it.
Played
we
Robin.
Can't double cast.
Yeah, no, I thought, what's his name? He's gangly like that, and he's got that weird sensibility.
Oh,
maybe he's
Topher
too
Grace?
On the nose.
Is that who you're talking
Topher
about?
Topher Grace? No, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, you keep saying Big Bang Theory. I don't watch any of those shows, and I just totally got all of them wrong.
I think I'm saying all these weird names. I was like, huh?
I never saw Seventh Rock or Third Rock or whatever it was. I never
Third
watched
Rock from the Sun was a funny show.
I'm sure it was. I just, I don't know it. So I'm totally like going out all these actors. I'm like, well, this guy was on TV. Do you mean him?
Yeah, I'm like, how is that connected to Big Bang? I'm like trying to figure out.
What about this guy? He was on a show?
Yeah.
Was it him?
That's funny.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, okay.
No,
Sheldon.
You might, actually, you might know him as the, he was the Muppet for Walter.
Yes. No, I know the character Sheldon. I can't think of that actor's name, but yes, I do know him from the Muppet movie.
Yeah. He's got the look. Like, I'd almost say he has like a very, very, like Jim Carrey had the look too. It's just he went too crazy with it.
Right. I really think that David Tennant would have been a great one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
that would
since
have been a good one.
He has played a villain in the Marvel Netflix shows, but never, you know, a DC villain. Whatever. Oh, he'd be so good as Riddler.
Speaking of DC villains, I saw the trailer for, I don't know what to make of the movie, but the Birds of Prey.
I haven't watched the new trailer yet.
It was interesting to see Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. Like, I wonder what they're going to, because that character was more of a Batman villain. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him, but I like that casting at least. I don't remember him playing a villain in a movie.
He's usually a good guy.
He's a good guy.
So that'll be good.
I don't know about that movie though. But look, I'm getting this could be good or bad for anybody, but I'll get Tank Girl vibes. And there are things I like about Tank Girl, but I've tried to watch it again recently and I was very disappointed.
Yeah, you gotta. So. That's another one. You gotta love it from afar. Because I love Tank Girl, but I don't want to watch it again.
I've tried. I was like, oh, God dang it. I remember liking
did we
this.
Did we see that together in the movie? I know we saw Barbarella in the movies together, but did we see.
Barbarella? Really?
Yeah, you, me, and Lace went to see that. I just remember thinking, why are we watching this?
What do you mean? Barbarella is awesome.
I couldn't get at that time. I was like I was a snob with movies, so I couldn't get into that one for some reason.
We would not have been friends when I was young.
I know.
You weren't really a snob. You just had the things that you liked. I mean, there was no, you know, and that wasn't really, you weren't really feeling that. You know,
I just remember being forced to go see Wayne's World with my arms crossed. I'm like, I don't find it funny, you know.
Oh my God, I saw that in the theater too. That was great.
I know, and it was good. Now I watch it now, and I'm like, oh, it's good. But I was definitely like, I could be funnier than these two. You know, I was like, annoyed.
I had a Barbarella poster on my ceiling for like 8 years of like while I was. Like in high school and early 20s, I was like, I just love her.
I was bitter about Wayne's World because everybody liked Queen. And I'm like, wait a second, we've been listening to Queen forever. And now everybody likes Queen because of this fucking movie. And I was really angry.
Dude, you know what? You got that right. Because I remember being at a wedding and then the DJ pulled all the little kids and he started playing the Bohemian Rhapsody, and he started handing out like the wigs for them to wear. And I remember being pissed off as I was watching this, and I'm like, I should be, you know,
because
now
Freddie
I'd
Mercury
be like, oh,
just
cool.
died. I mean, he literally
I know.
Just
yeah,
died.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
And it's like we're sitting there listening to this shit, watching these people headbang to this fucking movie. But it is a funny movie, though. But that I was pissed off at the time.
Yeah, now
it was a little salty.
That and just like when I first saw Tommy Boy, I was annoyed by that movie too. Like I used to be such an asshole.
I wasn't a big fan of Tommy Boy at first. I kind of had to; those things kind of had to grow on me a little bit. And even that, I feel like it was not so much that I like them; it's that they wore me down. Like,
that's exactly.
I tolerated them. Like, I was like, all right, I see what this is. I just don't.
Yeah, because I got warned, because I remember, Dave, we went to the movies, it was you, me, Barbara, and her friend, and they were like, oh, let's go see Black Sheep.
Oh, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, fucking
I was excited about it, because Tommy Boy actually cracked me up. But
Yeah,
this one was tough. That was a tough one to get through.
Yeah, that was, so it didn't help the cause. I mean, I wasn't annoyed with it as Tommy Boy, like it, because it just was so short anyway. I was like, okay, good, you got us in, you got us out. It was fine. You know, but
what was the one that we saw that we were just kind of like, why the hell did we pay to see this movie? What was it?
Dracula Dead and Loving It.
You know, oh my
exactly
god,
what are you talking about?
Holy
that
was
shit,
painful.
That movie! Oh my god, and I wanted to like that so much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was Mel Brooks, and I just remember the scene that we all just literally looked at each other with when Neil, what's his Leslie Nielsen wakes up. And he's like, "Huh, I can go out in the daytime." And then he starts walking around. And then all of a sudden, he starts burning. And then he wakes up in his coffin. He goes, "Oh, I was having a daymare." Yep. I'm like, "Man, you went through all that just so you could say I'm having a daymare."
Yep. It's a sequence that takes what? How long was that sequence?
It's a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's no love at first bite. That's what I'll say.
No. And I love that. I saw that in the movies too. When I was a kid, my parents took me to see that.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Oh man.
So there's a lot of TV stuff, though. Yeah, George Hamilton, by the way, for the win.
Yes, George Hamilton. Did you get to see? Speaking of TV,
taking a moment to just appreciate George Hamilton. I'm like, I'll stop for that. Sorry.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about him? He's incredible. I love him too. I didn't have a poster of him on my ceiling, but that's because I could never find one. I would have.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was one of him in the Village. Remember that store on 8th Street, Richie, that had like all those massive posters and T-shirts and stuff on it?
Oh, yeah.
And
they had even the black
painted, the black light stuff.
Yeah, black light paintings. Yeah.
Yeah. She would probably be able to find a standee of Zorro the Gay Blade or something.
I need to do a painting. I just need to go ahead and do it. I'm doing horror movie icons. So I've gotten like Bela Lugosi, I've got The Bride, and I've got Frank. And I was thinking about doing all of the people that did Dracula. And I'm like, oh my God. But I don't really want to do everybody that ever did Dracula. I really just want to do George Hamilton.
You should just do George Hamilton. That would be kind of funny.
Like a Vigo style painting.
All of the Universal monsters in a set and George Hamilton.
Yeah. Standing in the middle.
You know, and it's funny. I'm starting to think my parents were big George Hamilton fans because I saw Gay Blade, Zorro the Gay Blade in the movies too. And I saw that twice in the movies with my parents.
Yeah, but you guys saw everything. You saw every movie that came out. So it was like
Avalanche, whatever there was.
That's a fun pastime to do with your family, though. We were a little too broke for that, but how fun to just like go every week. When I was working up at the mall at Sam Goody, actually, we had regulars that would always come in and see us first and then go to the movies every weekend with their family. And I'm like, how fun. And you know that there were so many times they went and it was not necessarily like something that they really wanted to see, but it was just like something fun to do, and then you got to talk about it, and even if it was a bad movie you didn't like, it was like still an experience.
Or if you wanted to traumatize your kid with The Exorcist.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the only problem I have to take umbrage with is so my parents never bothered to look at Showtime, so you know, Free For All, we walked into the last 10 minutes of Carrie, saw the hand come up, I screamed my head off. And then we stayed, even though I screamed my head off, to watch the rest of it. to get to that part so then we could leave instead of finishing it up, you know, right at that part. But the amount of movies I saw from the middle and then had to watch them from the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then watch from the beginning
how I saw
to the middle.
Alive. And the thing is that it was part of a double feature we didn't know about.
Yeah.
So we sat through Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and then saw the first 20 minutes of Staying Alive.
It was Wild West. They didn't care when you could just buy a ticket to a movie. They didn't care if there were even seats in there. They just, go ahead. You know, you could stay the whole day in the movie theater if you wanted to. Like, that's how I saw Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi so many times. You know, I remember seeing Jedi three straight times in a row one time.
You know, just stay and not buy more tickets?
Yeah, you were able to just sit in the same seat.
Yeah, you were not, and that's not even like
that's
wasn't
like
even
the
doing
olden
anything
days.
Wrong. Yeah,
yeah, it's the olden
days. That's the olden days.
They were hoping that that you would go buy more popcorn and soda and crap. That's all.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The first time I encountered you have to buy another ticket was Batman. We were all
Which
ready
one?
To stay the first
the
one
eight,
the first
like,
time
oh, okay.
89. Yeah, we were sitting there and we're ready to stay. We stayed for the end of the credits. We're sitting there to go. Oh, you have to clear the theater. So we just thought, okay, we have to get up. And they were telling us that we had to go back online and buy tickets again. So we were like, oh, okay. That was the first time we ever dealt with that. And of course, our solution was to walk out and then just mix ourselves into the line that's already in waiting and then just go back in and go see the movie.
Yep.
That's too funny. No, I never did that. Yeah. I definitely have done double and even triple features before, but I always got tickets because I'm, first of all, it was a little later and people like there were ushers that would come and clean or sweep or, or just stand there and pretend that they were cleaning and sweeping.
Right. Just do a quick sweep through.
Yeah. But then also I never wanted to go see the same movie back to back. Like I went and saw the same movie several times in theaters, but never in the same day. I always would see a different movie in that day. And then, you know, like I think back now. The movies that I saw a million times, I saw The Matrix like 8 times in the theater, which I'm like, I'm happy I saw it multiple times. I was having a great time, but I'm like, man, I could have been putting that money towards a car at that age. I don't know what I was thinking. Like it was good, but it was coming out. I'd have seen it again.
Well, it's just because you had the time too, because I did that with Matrix and I did that with Star Wars Phantom Menace. I saw that so many times. I did that with odd movies, like what was that tornado movie we saw a million times for some stupid
Twister?
Movie?
We saw it
Twister.
Like, I think that's something we saw like 4 times or something.
Yeah.
Twister was like amazing though. When it came out, I don't know if it stands up now, but like when it first came out, that was one that even though we watched it at home, we would watch that back to back at home. Like that
I haven't even seen American Werewolf in London on the big screen, and I've seen Twister more times than that.
Yeah. I saw that one too in the movies, but what was funny about Twister, that was the same year that we saw that 4 times. We saw the Clint Eastwood one where he's protecting the president a couple of times. I'm like, was there really nothing in the movies? Like in the Line of Fire? Like I wouldn't even watch Line of Fire now if it was on. Like nothing against it.
But I really liked it. Yeah, when it
first
came
out. Too,
yeah.
But I have no
Was that the one where at the end, there was that really cool moment where there was like the plastic gun, and now you could just like do that with a 3D printer. But it was like the guy had all these pieces, and then
John
he was
Malkovich,
getting it through it was John Malkovich, and he got it through. That was such a cool moment. I remember when I was young thinking that was like so cool. Not cool to have a gun and shoot anyone, but like such a like, wow. I can't believe this is happening. That's like so crazy, you know?
Well, and then you think about this scene too. If you watch it now, it's not as bad as Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones, but the sex scene with Clint Eastwood and Rene Russo seems really odd now.
When you think
of their age difference.
No, I'm sure.
I don't remember that part. I might have been fast forwarded through because my mommy was very nice. And
that's funny.
She just kind of edited things for us.
They're just doing push-ups, honey.
Yeah. They take off all their guns. And that's the whole joke of the scene is like all these guns that they're both carrying. And then they get a call right before they're going to do it saying, you know, we need you back here or whatever. And he's like, now we got to put all that stuff back on, you know, and that's the stinger for that scene.
Gross. He's gross. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, but we were going to transition to television. I know because there was a lot to talk about in television, actually. We'd already mentioned Watchmen earlier in the show in reference to the film, but did you guys get to see the first episode of the HBO show?
I did not. I'm sorry.
Okay, no spoilers then. That's fine.
We won't talk about it, Well, yeah, I did see it.
You can talk about it. I want to see it, though.
Yeah, I saw it.
So one question I have, how many years later is this taking place in the original story? Do you know?
I don't know, but it does seem like a significant portion of time has passed.
Okay. There was, Dave, I'll just say there was the opening scene is really strange, and it made me wonder about the parallel universe, like what this society is, because there's this really crazy Tulsa, Oklahoma thing. It takes place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but there was these really horrible race wars that happened back in the 20s in their history that was really interesting, but it definitely was, I tried to remember, you know, I didn't read all of the history stuff like that was in the back of the books of Watchmen. I never got to finish all that. So I don't know if it was anything that was like mentioned in a sentence or something, you know, it could be, but yeah, I mean, when you see it, we'll have to talk about it because there's a lot of questions.
You can go ahead and talk about it. I mean, I don't think it's going to spoil anything for me unless something hugely spoilerific happens at the end. It is the first episode and everybody's talking about it. Feel free to discuss it.
Well, something that that it won't be a spoiler because it's revealed in the trailers, too, is that Ozymandias is there. So.
Right.
Yeah, the fact that he's there, to me, makes it seem like, okay, this is the same timeline, not necessarily an alternate timeline. Although it could be. I mean, it's still just the first episode.
And he's older.
And that's where I am getting my time jump from, because he's played by Jeremy Irons in this one, whom I love, and I think is a great choice to continue that character. But yeah, no, I think it's really promising. I think that the first episode was very compelling. I really was not expecting where it was going as far as, like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't read the comics that were a continuation of the graphic novel. I only have the graphic novel.
I don't even think it connects to it.
You don't think it connects? Okay.
Yeah, because he just did his own thing, right? Lindelof?
Yeah, Damon Lindelof.
Who gets a lot of hatred, but I don't hate him. You know what? I'm going to defend him. I like freaking Lost. I don't care. I like Prometheus. I don't give a shit. I mean, whatever. He's just writing shit. He's making up stuff. And
I love
you don't like
Prometheus,
it too bad.
But yeah. I don't like his treatment of it. I think it would have been better if somebody else had done the rewrites and not him. Right. But I still love Prometheus. I want to be like enveloped in that movie. I love it so much.
Right.
I don't really want to go there and live there, but you know.
Did I ever tell you guys the story that I went out to dinner with him one time?
Did you really?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was me.
I feel like you must have, but no, I don't remember that.
It was so funny because it was before Lost came out. I was with two other friends who knew him very well, and because they were writers, and I may have had a few too many drinks at this get together because they always make fun of me because I essentially interrogated him about Lost, but in a way where I said, I know that you have an ending because of this and this and this and this and that. And apparently I went on for a while, and which he thought was pretty funny. He wasn't annoyed by it. But I don't remember a lot of what I said, to be honest with you.
Shit.
But I always hear the stories of, wow, you really said there's no way that you would do this or let all the fans down and all that. Like I was like, oh, my God, I said that.
Wow.
I was like, Jesus H. So apologize to you if you listen to this.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
How funny. Well,
apparently he was a good guy from when I remember having the conversation with him.
That's funny.
But I did, you know, the one vibe I did get from this is it definitely had a Westworld feel as well.
Okay.
Even though it has nothing to creators have nothing to do besides being on the same network, it definitely had that feeling of, we're not going to give you a lot of answers. We're going to make you pull them out as we go along through each episode, you know? And so you're just going to get little bits and pieces of hints. I did in the trailer, I did see something for next week or it says coming up this season, they mention a Laurie Blake, and I'm trying to remember, because the comedian's last name was Blake, wasn't it? And Laurie was his daughter, as revealed in The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that's Laurie as a, I don't know who that woman is.
Maybe.
If she's a police detective or something. So she was old enough to be, she was the right age, because she was, what's her name? Not Jane Triplehorn. The blonde lady from
Jean Triplehorn.
Yeah, and it's not her though. It was the blonde lady from Designing Women, I think. I don't remember. She's been in a lot of stuff. I think
Delta just, Burke.
No, yeah, Delta Burke.
Delta Burke was not blonde.
I know. I think so.
Yeah, the other lady, not Delta Burke. She seemed to be playing.
Not Annie Potts. Not Delta Burke. Well, who's the other one?
She was the blonde Southern lady. I can't think of her name. Oh, I'm blind. If only there was a device that could tell me.
If only. Well, while you look
alas,
that up.
We live in these dark times where it's not available to us.
I was going to ask if you guys got a chance to see El Camino, the continuation
yes,
of the Breaking Bad series.
No, I was planning on watching that tonight, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But go ahead.
Really worthwhile.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ruin everything for you, Dave.
That's all right.
Well,
I mean,
no, we don't have to give spoilers. I mean,
yeah,
yeah, no,
you
it's
talk
fine.
About it. Yeah, yeah.
It's very worthwhile. It really does pick up tonally. It's just perfect. It's so spot on. I didn't do a rewatch of Breaking Bad leading up to it or anything, but was immediately back in that moment and was immediately back in that vibe. And you get to see some familiar faces, some people like, you know, here and there pop up. Really, really high quality content from Netflix right there. I gotta say, I was very
impressed.
And I like
that they didn't try to make like that one guy, the Matt Damon looking guy. They didn't even try to make him look young because he looks.
Oh no, yeah,
he looks very different.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fine.
But,
yeah, because
yeah, I didn't mind it at all. You know,
no, me but neither.
I liked it, you know, and it's really more, it, I wouldn't say go into it's like, you're going to get any new information. It's just kind of, it's just kind of an epilogue to a story, you know, and
right.
that's what I kind of liked about it. And, you know, I didn't like Jackie, I didn't rewatch anything, but, he was just on Jimmy Kimmel and he, as a monologue, Jimmy Kimmel said he brought him on to do 3 minutes of a fast recap of everything they need to know, you need to know before watching El Camino. And it's funny the way he does it, but it was almost perfect because it jogged my memory enough that I was like, oh, okay, now I know where this starts. I didn't remember.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
everything.
Honestly, even Netflix is very kind because, you know, they always do that season recap or anything when you're watching a new season of a show when it comes out. And they did that for this. So at the beginning
of...
Yeah, at the beginning of the film, there's a short recap that you can skip if you don't want to see it, but it gives you the pertinent information.
I must have accidentally skipped it because I completely missed it. Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Because I had Jen watch that other thing. I didn't know that existed.
No,
but, yeah.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah, no, I liked it. It was exciting to have that. There, like, it just reminded you of why you like that
treat.
Original
yeah
show.
what a treat. And I feel like that's something that I hope I see more of. I know that we talked about this with even Doctor Who back in the day, because, you know, I've already mentioned David Tennant once this episode, but I'll mention him again. But I loved
you're
him
almost
and
at
Donna
your,
so much.
You're almost at your legal limit, by the way.
I know, sorry. But I loved him and Donna so much. And so did so many fans. They even have their own radio show. You know what I mean? Like with those actors playing the same parts and everything. But how fun would it be to have a cool movie? Because you can do, even though he's regenerated, you know, you can do these pocket stories anytime in the timeline. And we're talking about for any fandom. You could do a Gimli movie standalone. You know what I mean? Like, it would be great.
Oh, you just reminded.
Wonderful. I love.
And saying that, you know who's taking advantage of that? And I don't know if you've seen any of these. The CBS app with the Star Trek shorts. Have you seen any of those?
No, I haven't seen
that. Oh my God. So they take place all over the place. There's one short that takes place with the first time Spock, and it's the new Spock from CBS, is on the Enterprise and his first interaction with Number One. And that's one story. Then there's another story about, it's called The Trouble with Henry. And it's about, with like the title suggesting, it you have the, I don't know who the character is. You might know her. She's promoted by Pike. She gets her own ship. And you encounter the Tribbles. I'll just say that. And it's a great,
fun.
And these little shorts are 12, 20 minutes each. And there's about, they're about 5 or 6 of them and they're done really well. So you can find it on the CBS app, but
I'll definitely
see more
look those
of that
up.
Stuff. You know,
although we're not paying for the CBS app right now because Star Trek's not on it at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So we might have to wait until the next season because then we will, you know, we'll re-up when when the next season comes out.
And then in Picard too, right? Because that'll be...
Oh, that's true. That's coming sooner.
There's there was a new trailer for that one where you get to see Santa Claus, Riker, and Marina Sirtis. The only reason I say that is because he's got a full beard and he's wearing an outfit that really looks like he's ready to put that bag on.
That's funny. Well, red always was his color.
Yeah. But that show looks really good. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I can't
that
wait.
One.
Yeah, that looks we'll definitely sign up for that one too.
And it seems to take place in the continuity of the same continuity as the new Star Trek show. Because there's that timeline seems to be, I think it's an offshoot from the new movies, but it's hard to tell because then when they have the new Spock in there, but that story, that could still all fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And there was and the one episode I saw recently, I noticed there was a Deep Space Nine shot out in this new Discovery. Mm-hmm. And so I was even shocked by that. I'm like, wow, they really figured out a way to tie everything together, you know, in this new show. So,
I'm excited. That'll be definitely something that we sign up for also. Yeah. Dave, have you seen anything? Have you been watching any shows or have you just been doing movies?
I've just been doing movies because, like when I get home from work, I have about a couple hours to watch something. And usually it's just like right now, since we're in the Halloween month, I've just been making sure that I watch a scary movie whenever I have the chance to. So
nice.
first couple weeks of the month, I was able to do it like every night, but, I had to just do, I couldn't do it last week very much because there was a lot of stuff I had to do after work. But what ended up happening was on Saturday, a couple friends and I, we just got together and decided to watch some horror movies together. And we watched, not horror movie, just Halloween theme kind of stuff we were in the mood to watch. So we watched what did we start with? We started with Frighteners, watched the not the director's cut, but the regular cut. And then we watched this WNUF Halloween special. It's kind of like a found footagey kind of thing. It wasn't very good. It was kind of boring actually. But then we watched Twilight Zone, and the last one was Evil Dead, the remake Evil Dead, because a couple of people hadn't seen it, so we ended up watching that. And I actually liked that one. I was very pleasantly surprised that I liked that one. But
I've never
seen
that one.
It before?
No, I've seen it before. I'm just saying that I like it. I'm like defending. I've seen it before. And the reason we watched it is I actually like it. It's pretty decent compared to, like, it was a decent. It took it in a decent direction. I paid homage in spots, and I just liked the whole. I just liked the whole thing. I thought it was great.
Seen it at all. I'm kind of curious, but I heard Sam Raimi's trying to do another movie.
They're
going to
do
that?
Another one. But it's going to be with new people, and Bruce Campbell's like, nope, not doing it anymore. But he's going
to. Oh, so he's not going to do it? He's
no.
not. I thought he was. They were trying to get him.
He ended it on the TV show. He's like, it's done. I want them to continue that TV show. They should continue it as a fucking cartoon. it would be amazing. Did you guys see the way they ended that TV show?
No, I have
the last season.
You guys have to watch the end of that season.
It's on Netflix. I don't know if the latest season is on Netflix, but I had, because it was on what, Stars or something?
Yeah, it was.
Or Showtime?
Yeah.
It was on something that we had cut, and now seasons are on Netflix, so I can start catching up, but I don't know if it's totally on there yet.
Yeah, I checked Vudu out because there was one day where they had a sale for the entire all the seasons for $19.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I bought it. So I said, nice, okay, I have them. I can catch up to it.
It's such a silly show. At first, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this show or whatever. But then I ended
up. You really didn't like the first episode or two. I really was like, ooh.
Yeah, ooh. I know. It was like, what is this shit? What are they doing? But then after a while, I got into it. After a while,
you had to get used to him.
Yeah. And then, like, after the first season, and then it just got silly. They started bringing more people in, and it doesn't even make any sense, but it's just fantastic.
I like Lee. Yeah. I think that's as far as I got because I saw Lee May, all the Lee Major stuff.
Right.
And then I got to when they were in spring break. That was the second season, I think.
Oh,
when
they
were at some spring break party or something, or they were in Florida or something. I don't even know. And that's where I kind of I didn't drop off on purpose. I just ran out of, you know, one of those things where you run out of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gave up on it for a while, and then there was just one day I'm like, you know, I gotta watch some Evil Dead. I'm in the mood, and I just ended up putting it on, and then it ended up liking the rest of it. It's just kind of silly, but the way they ended is so you just want a continuation, and I'm telling you, animated continuation. It's so fantastic, but I got to see Joker yesterday, and then No, I want to catch up on some TV shows. I'm definitely interested in seeing The Watchmen. But also, I want to, you know, there's a bunch of fucking games coming out, too, that I want to play.
Yeah.
I tried Smash Cut. I tried Fae last night, and I thought it was great.
Wasn't that such a surprise?
Oh, it's beautiful. First of all, it's beautiful to look at, and then the sound is beautiful, and then the fact that sound is part of the gameplay, you know, strong or softly you speak, or he's like, singing, his little doing little singing voice. It's just really, really cute. But it's very intuitive. There's no, you know, tutorials of any kind, really. The whole game is pretty much a tutorial, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're just playing, you're just figuring it out as you go along. It's just wonderful. I didn't get super far in it last night. I played for about an hour and a half, but
that's
I
enough to get a feel.
It's beautiful, great recommendation. I was really taken aback by the art style. It's just gorgeous to look at.
Yeah, and I had not seen a trailer or anything. The only reason I happened upon it was because I was checking out the PS Plus sales and EA games were on sale, and I'm not a big sports person, so I was looking for anything, you know, that wasn't their sports games, and they do have plenty of them. So that was just a perfect gem.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So, and then staying with video games, have you guys seen, like, I've been reading up on and I've been paying attention to this new Star Wars game that's coming out.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys care.
No, not so much.
I pre-ordered it. Oh my God, it looks amazing.
I mean, I'm interested, but I haven't been reading
it looks
up on
like,
it.
It looks like Uncharted and Dark Souls and like just like everything. Oh, and a Force Unleashed. Well, no, not Force Unleashed. What was that game again?
The original. Force Unleashed. It's the director of Uncharted, right? Like she's the one.
I don't know.
That's what
really?
I thought.
Is it
I
a Naughty Dog game? It can't
no,
be.
No, it's not. It's
no,
not.
But I think she defected. One of the creators of, or the last director of, let me look it up real fast because I don't want to talk out of my ass all night. I'm like, you know, I've heard.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. But it does look amazing. You know, what's it called again?
I'll have to check that out.
It's called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and it looks.
Is it
going to
be an MMO or is it just going to be a single player? Or
it's a single player action game, like in the vein of like a Uncharted.
Uncharted.
Or,
that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like Uncharted
with
Star
I'll be
Wars.
Wanting
basically.
It,
There's a lot
obviously
of
what I want.
I
that's all I ever
it,
want.
They say that it's a lot of exploration comes into play, so it's kind of like a Zelda-esque kind of thing, or Metroidvania kind of thing, where you explore, you fight things, they have like this robust battle system, you know, so they're trying to make it so, you know, like how Uncharted, the fights were very fluid and fun, like especially when you got into fisticuffs in the later games. So it's like it's that kind of shit, but with Star Wars, you know what I mean? So it's kind of exciting.
That's so
awesome. You know who?
Yes.
So the star of it, Jackie, is the main character's Cal. played by Cameron Monaghan, who I don't know if you recognize that, but he was Jerome and Jeremiah on Batman, on the Gotham show.
He was Jerome and Jeremiah? I don't remember.
You know who that is? Yeah, some, I don't know. They said he was a Jokery-like character. Oh, that guy. Yeah.
That's the guy that I think I thought was playing it just from his face type before I knew it was the Skarsgård guy.
Yeah, he's the star of this as some Jedi.
Oh.
With BD-1. Avatar actress. Oh, Deborah Wilson. She was from Mad TV, right?
Oh, Deborah Wilson. She's doing a voice.
She's it looks like just like her. Sari is the name, so she must have done right motion capture. There's a second. I'm trying to find the creatives on this. I'm getting all of the Three's Company. Wait, Three's Company was apparently inspired by. Oh, I see. One character was apparently inspired by John C. Reilly and Mr. Furley from Three's Company. Okay, out of context, that sounds very bad, but that I know the game looks better than that. Mr. Furley and Star Wars shouldn't be mentioned in the same.
Yeah, I think I'll have to go watch that trailer separately because hearing you talk about it is not necessarily making me want to play it anymore.
It's like that was the
dark the trailer is epic. It's really cool looking, and I just saw some gameplay, but I've just been reading up on it. It just sounds like it's going to be one of those games that I wasn't expecting, and I'm just glad that it's out. You know, like one of those that just kind of come out of nowhere, and you're just like, I didn't know I needed this.
Oh, I love
those. You know.
Yes. Now, if they could do the same thing with Middle Earth, that would be great. I know Shadows of Mordor is awesome, but I want more. I want more Mordor.
Yeah. Mordor. What kind of Mordor game would you want, though? What would you want? Like, who would you want
with,
to
like,
play?
An Uncharted? That's what I'm saying. Like, I want an Uncharted feel in all of my fandom. Like, that's the kind of gameplay that I enjoy. And it's not that I want them all to be super samey, but that kind of single-player experience where you're exploring and you're able to interact with your environment a little bit more. Like you said, the controls are intuitive so that I don't have to, like, stress out and be like, I can't even. I have to go to super easy mode.
Right.
Tomb Raider. I'm pretty good at Tomb Raider. Oh man, I love Tomb Raider. But that's same kind of feel.
Yep. Tomb Raider, and then also what was it? Do you ever get to play Horizon? Horizon's got that. Horizon Zero Dawn.
I played the whole thing. That was great.
Oh yeah. Cool. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, no, totally. That is like my favorite kind of action gameplay. Mm-hmm. Obviously I like other kinds of games because we talk about Fae and we talk about Flower and we talk about Entwined. Two Souls, that was a great one. That's just kind of a totally different take on your normal gameplay. I mean, it's more retro in a way.
Oh yeah, Entwined. Yeah. It's so amazing how cheap that game is too.
I know. Really, that's another one. I just really feel like, man, that was just made for me. I just like, it's so weird and it's not something that you can really recommend to a lot of people who are playing games, but for the type of people who want that chill environment and to just relax and unwind, perfect.
Okay, so I found who directed it. It's not who I thought it was. It's his name is Stig Asmussen, and he was the director on God of War.
Oh, cool! The newest,
the first one.
So, yes.
Oh, the newest one.
Wow. Let's see. All right, I guess I gotta keep looking.
I have to finish that God of War game. That's amazing. I have to finish that.
There was what I'm so mad because I was in God of War 2 when the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 change happened. And then for some reason I couldn't continue it on the other one, and I had already gotten rid of. So I remember being mad.
Yeah, I was mad because when I first bought my PlayStation 3, or maybe it was, no, it was PlayStation 2. When I first bought my PlayStation 2, that was like one of the games that came with it. And I was playing and I was nice and I set up an account for my boyfriend at the time too, but I didn't realize that I had started the game on his login. Yeah, I mean, I was like 75% through the game going, wait,
you got all my trophies, which if you're like me, is very frustrating because I want the trophies. I want them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have not back and replayed it, but I like, and it's the only, I'm so mad too, because it's the only game that he's 100% complete on. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, that was me.
Yeah,
right. Right.
Oh,
man, that's
funny.
It's fine. It's fine. He's a great guy.
Even when I think I'm 100% on the game, I'm like, no. And then I go and look at it and it's like 23%. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, there's so many.
This
I know.
Game is
most
so
of the
massive.
Time.
I know.
It's actually kind of refreshing when it is a very straightforward one. Like every once in a while when you'll do like the Telltale games or something, and it's very much like, just complete this chapter and you get a trophy and then you still get your 100% complete. But usually on the bigger games, I don't worry about the trophies to begin with. I just kind of like to go through and play. And then if I really like it, then I'll look at what the trophies are and go back and get them. But it can be frustrating. It just bit me on something. What was I playing? I was playing something.
Spider-Man was like that new Spider-Man game. I thought I got as much blood from the stone as I possibly could. And meanwhile, I'm
only on
20 something. You know, I'm like, and I played all of the DLCs and everything. And I'm like,
no,
are you kidding
me? The only thing that'll bite you is if there's certain things that you can't get past a certain point in the storyline, like some stuff.
Yeah.
You can't go back and find an item if you can't get back to that area in the game anymore. But that's the only time that kind of stuff bites me. But yeah, no,
I wanted to mention last time, because remember last time you guys asked me my favorite VR game is, and I neglected to mention my absolute favorite. And I can't believe I didn't mention this because it's really a system seller. It's a game called Astrobot Rescue Mission. And it's basically you're controlling this little remote control robot and you're collecting the other robots while basically controlling them through these Mario-esque environments that like surround you. It surrounds you and it's like it's ridiculous how much the immersion plays into it and how you feel like you're actually in you're with these little robots and interacting with this world that's around you. And it's so fun and the gameplay is fun and it's like anybody who wants to play it, anybody who plays it is like, oh my God, this is just like amazing. It's such a transformative experience when it comes to it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's something to try out. So like if you were ever on the fence, and I know like soon, I'm sure that like Christmas is coming up. I'm sure there's going to be sales like on the PSVRs because I'm sure they're going to release newer versions of it when the PS5 comes out. Like next year or something.
Do you have that Darth Vader game, or is that not for PSVR?
I don't have that. I do. I think that's on that Oculus. Well, I think it's like if you have an Oculus or something like or Vive, you can watch that. It's what Vader Immortal or something. I think it's called.
Yeah, I know that they just released a sequel to it or something or a new chapter or.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, he is the director of the first God of War.
Oh, the first person God of War.
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, interesting.
So much so that the character was almost named after him is what. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just got two articles that contradicted themselves. He was God of War 3 director.
Oh, okay.
God of War 3. Okay. So there you go. Wow. One says it was God of War. The other one says he's God of 3. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I would love to own one of those more expensive rigs and all that stuff. But the PSVR is like a nice, like it's like the what's it, the trainer bike? I guess if you want to call it. It's like a nice entrance. It's entry level stuff for VR. It's
you got to get the whole. They're gonna start selling the rigs with the wires and the suspension cable and everything, so that you can start. You know.
Well, they have like a Peloton bike. The Oculus Quest, I think it's called. It's literally something you just strap to your head, and then you have the two controllers in your hands, and you can do it anywhere. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and apparently it's amazing, and it's a wireless, and somebody I work with was playing Beat Saber in his office.
They came out with Switch has something coming out that I don't even understand. I haven't looked enough into, but it's like a circle Halo thing that's supposed to be like what the Wii was for the Nintendo Wii. I mean, not the Wii, the Wii board was for the Nintendo Wii. Oh. This is like a Halo for the Switch, and it's supposed to be like some exercise thing, but it's also supposed to be do a lot of virtual reality stuff as well. So I don't know how it works. So are you still getting a Switch, Jackie, or is that on hold?
Well, we would probably like one. We're no longer going to get two. But again, it kind of depends on the move situation. This Christmas is going to be all dependent on how expensive the move is. And we're moving states, so you never know. It's going to be maybe a delayed holiday. Maybe we'll celebrate Valentine's Day with one or something, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
We're still planning on getting one. It just might not necessarily be for Christmas.
Yeah.
Are you planning on getting the Switch or the Switch Lite?
Hadn't really looked at the difference between the two.
What you played with us was the Switch. Switch Lite wouldn't let you take off the controllers. And you wouldn't be able to hook it up to your television like the way we did.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely get the regular one then. Especially because we have both of us wanting to play, we want to be able to do something together. Which, speaking of controllers, I just got my brand new wireless rose gold PlayStation 4 controller. Came in the mail, very exciting. And then my rose gold headset coming later this month. And that's so basic white girl, and I don't care. I love it.
What are you going to break it in with? What game are you going to break it in with?
I don't know. Well, you know what? I actually do have a new game that I haven't even unwrapped yet because it was just on a good deal. I got, well, it's not new, but it's new to me. Bendy and the Ink Machine. I know that's been, it's got some really fun animation. It's got like some like dark kind of stuff. It wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe play it during this month, right? It's kind of
right on.
A little demony and creepy, but in that old timey animation kind of way.
Right on. Oh, is it like Cupheads as well? Like it has that same
It's kind of got that vibe, but it's all very, I think it's like a lot of blacks and yellows. I don't think that there's a whole lot of color in it, but that I could be wrong. That just looks like from the few images that I've seen.
They were going to play Cuphead. I went out to go get food, and all I know
is, oh my God, yeah.
They said they were creeped out by it. Like you guys were all like,
well, I wasn't, but all of a sudden, your very young children and lovely wife were listening to the song that plays on the intro screen, which talks about like Satan and going to hell, or I don't know how it goes, but
selling
it was
his
very,
soul, yeah,
selling his soul, whatever it is. Which I mean, like to me is fine, but again, your children are very young, and your wife is kind of like, "Did you know this?" And I'm like, "I didn't know that this was going to happen." Did Rich know this? I don't think he knew this either.
Unfortunately,
this is new.
I did know, but I had found a way to skip over that section. So we were playing the game. So he never got a dose of the devil aspect of it that starts the game. But I mean, he's like the devils from the 40s, you know.
Right, movies, right.
Like this kind of old style Betty Boop cartoons.
It's not scary. It's just maybe not.
I mean, slightly maybe not disturbing. But
expected. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
yeah. But no, I can't wait to get a creepy Switch though.
Which one?
Oh yeah, Bendy and Ink Machine. I'm excited to play it. I don't think it's a very long game, but it looks different. And I know I had watched Game Theory on it a long time ago, but since I hadn't played the game, I wasn't really paying attention. And you know how that goes. But it made me interested in trying to check it out. And I really also can't wait to get a Switch because I really want to play Hollow Knight. It's another one that I watched a Game Theory on, and man, that's
beautiful.
They're
looking.
Getting a lot of money from me just from watching these theories. I'm like, yeah, if you've got interesting lore and cool art, I'm all about it.
You know what actually went that route too? I don't Apple Arcade, the games that they have on there, like if you just look at the trailers. They definitely went in that same style. Like they went to indie creators, and they have that same kind of Hollow Knight movement. Is very very fluid. I don't know if you've seen any of those. Both of you, Dave, if you've seen any of those on the arcade.
Yeah, I've seen some games on the arcade. I'm tempted to sign up for it, but then I'm like, you know, I don't know. It's like, well, there's a lot of cool stuff. I recently bought one called Gris, I think it's called. I don't know if you've seen that, and it looks like a painting come to life. She's beautiful. Oh, wow. Cool. And so these games, like you say, these indie style games, are able to kind of push the boundaries of the visuals a little bit, because they're not trying to like impress some AAA audience. They're just trying to really just create something that's very personal and
very shadow like, which is nice. Yeah. It's like they're painting on black paper, you know, like they're really like kind of creating beautiful imagery.
Yeah, it's neat. It's really neat that they can do this. The technology allows for it. You know, for people to create these things, these worlds and stuff that we can play. And that they, you know, we don't have to pay an arm and a leg to do it either. It's all, we literally do it on our phone if we want to, which is nuts. I can play, I think it's a trip that I can, you know, check my PlayStation on my phone. Like, yes. The other day I was checking my downloads and all of the stuff.
Well, you know, you can use your PS4 remote now, right?
Oh, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
just insane. Really?
Yeah, the last update they did, I can log into my PlayStation and literally just use my remote with my iPad. I don't even have to be in the same house. I could be, you know, anywhere. Yep. And I was playing Spider-Man like that at one point. Because you couldn't do it when they first released the PS4, you couldn't use the on-screen. That was like a nightmare trying to use the on-screen controller for PS4 games. You know, but making that nice little change, really did do a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think the next big thing that's I know, was it Terminator comes out this week? Is that the big movie, or is that next week?
Is that this week?
I don't know, but I am excited about that. I think that looks really good.
Yeah, I heard they had a Fathom Events. That wasn't Fathom Events. It was the Alamo. Apparently, they had a screening of Terminator 2. When people showed up, they surprised them by having an introduction from what's her name, Sarah Connor. I can't think of her. Linda Hamilton, and they showed them the new movie.
Yeah.
And so far, the reviews have been it's all been pretty positive. So
that's awesome.
Which is good. You know, a lot of them saying this is definitely a Terminator 3. Because I wasn't really that hyped up on the movie. I wasn't even like, it was there and it was like, oh, I guess I'll see it. But it wasn't like something I was even that excited about. But now the more I hear about it, you know, the more I'm kind of becoming more interested.
I don't know. I thought even that first trailer was like pretty cool. I was so excited, especially like that awesome version of that Bjork song.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's pretty cool.
Just
yeah.
Seeing her come back and just like be badass. And I don't know. I was on board right from the gate. But I am excited that it's getting closer. And I've noticed that a lot of people have been saying, I don't even know. Do I want to waste my time with this one? You know, this, that, and the other. Like, and I'm like, what? Why not?
I know. It's like,
what do we have to lose?
Well, I think because James Cameron endorsed the other one so hard, you know, the other one that came out, that I think you kind of like, I was kind of like, you know, thrown off by him. Not that the other one was bad. It's just the endorsement was weird. In fact, I just saw this documentary with James Cameron and the Titanic, and I'm like, dude, the movie is done. Like, he's still trying to figure out if he got it right. Like, he literally, 20 years later, he's haunted by the idea that the boat didn't split in half at the right amount of time. Like, they did these new experiments to show that his timing was like off by a few seconds. I'm like, really? I'm like, this is gonna, you're gonna, you know, sleepless nights for this? Like, you know, finish Avatar. what are you doing?
No, finish your 17 Avatar sequels already. Jesus.
I know he's very involved in this, so that's he was more involved in this than the other one, so that makes it more interesting at least. But I forgot who the director of this is again.
It's Tim Miller. It's the guy from who did Deadpool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing is that, I mean, everybody like freaked out about how amazing Deadpool was and how, you know, nobody could have done it better, and this guy brought it to life, and the leaked footage made it happen, but it was really the passion of the team and the director to make the story line up, blah, 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 which was true. Like, it was so good, but, like, why wouldn't we want to see his next film? Like, I don't understand. Right. I don't understand where everybody went.
Well, because people have very short memories.
And also, I never understood why he got let go from Deadpool 2. Like, I thought that would have been a slam dunk that he would be part of that. You know what I
mean? Yeah,
like
it, I don't know.
It was. I mean, not that Deadpool 2 is bad, but it's just, you know, it's just weird that the guy who kind of got it to the screen, you know, doesn't get
the only. And I don't know the story there, but I just wonder if there were, again, like creative differences of like, okay, well, now you're in this bigger world and you've got to make these other things fit in. Although Deadpool 2 didn't really make anything fit in. So I don't know why that would be. I just know I remember that being the Edgar Wright story on Ant-Man. But
yeah, yeah.
But which, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Creative differences, but weird.
Yeah,
either way. I mean, which they're talking about, speaking of people being like, oh, have you heard that they are looking at recasting Jeremy Renner for Hawkeye?
What?
Possibly.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe he's tired for a younger version or
not so much for a younger version. I'm thinking that they probably won't even have to worry too much about it because they're definitely setting up his daughter to be the continuation. But apparently just yesterday I was reading that there were some allegations from his wife or ex-wife, I don't know the situation, about maybe abuse, maybe firing a gun in their apartment in the ceiling, maybe threatening to hurt himself or others, maybe possibly. And again, this is not necessarily confirmed as true, but there are more than one source coming forward saying things like this. So Disney might be wanting to be distancing themselves. So it's possible. They've been thinking about it.
I'm still kind of broken up about Chloe from Smallville.
Holy moly. That is, I saw a whole documentary about that whole cult that she's involved in. Oh my God. That's just,
that's crazy.
Yeah. That's one person I'm assuming we're not seeing in the crisis. But holy moly. Wow. I don't even know how you get involved in a cult like that and not realize what you're doing is wrong.
But yeah.
Well, speaking of crisis, we'll end it on that. I'm excited. I'm kind of excited about to see that what they're going to do. Right? I mean, it should be interesting.
It should be.
They're getting all kinds
of people coming back. All kinds of guest stars.
It's probably the only thing that has made me even think about starting to watch anything again. So
yeah,
I'm so behind, and also just I don't care, you know, like about what's going on in the shows right now. But I absolutely will log in for this. So
I think a YouTube recap might tell me everything I need to know. Right? Like,
that's pretty much how I'm. I don't even know if I'm going to do that. I'll just
just watch it. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, they know. I think we might have mentioned this last time, or maybe it was just you and I on the phone. But like, usually with stuff like that, it's insulated because they know that people are going to hop in that don't normally watch. Right. So they kind of make it palatable for people who might not know the whole arc.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. But all right. Well, on that note, I guess next time we talk, I don't know what we'll have seen.
probably Terminator. I want to see that. I actually still want to see Maleficent, and there was something else in theaters that I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, there's
seeing,
a couple other films too. I want to see Gemini Man. I want to see Gemini Man. The HFR, or whatever.
Yeah, the
high frame rate thing. Yeah, let's see that.
Well, Zombie Man, Zombie Land too.
Zombie Land is the other one that looked like fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it did get good reviews. Mm-hmm. It did actually. They did say it was a lot of fun to watch, so which is good, because there really isn't. I don't really feel like there's much that has dragged me out recently like that. Usually it's fun to see. Oh, what's playing? Maybe I'll go see this or that.
Right.
And
yeah, I wish I was more excited about the Addams Family movie. I gotta say, I want to be excited about that because it's so like my thing, but I don't know, I just haven't been able to get behind it yet. Maybe when it comes out and I watch it, I'll be sorry I didn't see it in theater, but I don't think that I'm gonna go to that one in the theater. I want to probably go see Maleficent.
The kids wanted to see it, but it's just one of those things where timing just didn't work out. Like they really loved the trailer. Like they kept watching the trailer over and over.
Yeah.
How did I forget? I did see a movie. it's a Fathom event. I saw Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So now there's a term that I cannot stand, and you know, you guys know, I've always hated when I hear the word, but I will say this movie probably should have been called Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Fan Service. It's really what this movie is. It was fine what it is, but it definitely is. It's lower budget. The best parts of it are the parts that are sequels to his other films, like the Ben Affleck scene with him was a sequel to Chasing Amy, and it kind of wrapped up where everybody is, mm-hmm. and it was interesting. So when the movie does that, it's a lot of fun. When it does the really ridiculous, silly things, it's ridiculous and silly like you'd expect, but it surprisingly had more heart than I expected. Like the whole concept of it is it turns out Jay, and he doesn't know it, is the father of this child that he had with Shannon Elizabeth from the last movie. And it's, her name is Millennium Falcon, which is, you know, I know grown, but what they do with the character and what they do even with Jay, it was sweet. It was surprisingly sweet and touching. And then they do some ridiculous stuff too. So some of it is very lazy, and then some of it is actually really good. So, but it's definitely a lot lower budget from some of his other movies. So, and I know he's doing a weird thing with it where he's touring with the movie, and then when he tours with it, then it opens up in theaters, like state by state. So it's not like a regular release. And the movie was put out by Saban. And do you know who Saban is?
The Power Rangers people?
Yes, the Power Rangers people.
Oh, wow.
There's even a joke about that in the movie. So, oh, wow. Yeah. So, but, yeah, interesting. It was fun. It was definitely a video, you know, worth if you've liked the other films, you know, you'll like parts of this. So,
well, Tom,
that was the last thing I saw. So, all right, well. On that, I think we've smashed enough cuts, so I'm going to go and bang my head into the wall for a couple hours on Rick Saban. And Dave, Jackie, I will talk to you soon.
Yep. Awesome. Right. See ya.